ascending to heaven. That'll happen, you know, if we're looking calendar-wise, the days out from Easter, Thursday would be that time frame to where it's Ascension Day. He leaves this earth. The disciples are there with him, and all of a sudden he's gone. They're looking up. And then they hear a voice saying, "Why are you looking up? He will return sometime in the future, just as he ascended. He's coming back." So there's a lot of things that come into play with this. But I think as an organization, as a church, as followers of Jesus, we don't even celebrate his ascension anymore. We don't even know about it. We just take it as another day. It's even worse is there's not a whole lot of focus put on Pentecost Sunday, when the church really got a rolling, when the Holy Spirit came and the power that Jesus said it would happen to be. And it's all these things that we have developed, and it's really part of the foundation of whatever of our faith. And we see these days come and go like it's just another day. Now, you're going to find this interesting. So, we've already shared Ascension Day celebrates on Thursday, the 40th day of Easter, or 39 days after Easter Sunday. In countries where there are some countries around the world, believe it or not, that it's a public holiday. Not in America. Give our retailers that, and they probably will put some sales together if they make a dime on anything to do with God. In countries where it is a public holiday, Ascension Day is a free day for many workers. Many people will take the long weekend off because it's the day, usually it will fall on the Thursday. And so in some of these countries, Thursday, it's a holiday, Friday, they're off. They've got a four-day weekend. Now here's what I found interesting. Despite Christianity being a minority religion in Indonesia, Ascension Day is a public holiday. And a special services take place at churches throughout the country. Indonesia, not a Christian country, but they celebrate that as Ascension Day as a public holiday. Ascension Day is sometimes called Father's Day in Germany, because many men have outings that day. In Sweden, many people go out into the woods around 3 or 4 a.m. to hear the birds at sunrise. England, Ascension Day is associated with various water festivities and festivals. Ascension Day is not a federal public holiday in Australia, Canada, the United Kingdom, and the United States. And there was a list of countries that it is, and I didn't list them all here. It's like, oh, but it is a public holiday in some countries. Government offices, schools, banks, and many businesses are usually closed in countries where Ascension Day is a public holiday. Public transportation services may run on a weekend schedule in some countries to observe Ascension Day as a public holiday. Isn't that amazing? What a powerful statement. What a powerful move. It's actually as Jesus was fulfilling everything. This is the culmination of his life. This is the culmination of why he was here. This was the last time his disciples would see him fleshly before his return, whenever that time comes. And now he's saying, I'm out of here. And we got places and countries and all that celebrated as a holiday. Well, don't bring it up in America because it's religion. You know, I don't know what the organizations would call it, you know, because we've taken Christmas holiday break to call it winter break. We've taken Easter holiday week and called it spring break. Anything to do with anything of Christ, anything to do with anything of God, we have a quick way of trying to put it down, to hide it. So I don't know what the world or our people here in a country would call Ascension Day. I don't know. Maybe it's a good thing that we don't have it out there like that. But it is out there that I think the church, need to recognize it. We need to honor it. We need to think about it. And rather to think that it's just another Thursday coming and going. It's as powerful as Christmas, the birth of Christ. It's as powerful as the Easter time of the resurrection of Christ. And here it is, him ascending to heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father to intercede for us, to be our advocate. Very powerful, don't you agree? And then after that, we come 10 days after this, we'll be looking at Pentecost Sunday, where, hold on to your hats. The wind, the fire came into that meeting room. Holy Ghost came. The Holy Ghost came, and life has not been the same since in the Christian circle. For those that are filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, being led by that entity of God, the three in one, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Ascension Day is one of the earliest Christian festivals dating back to the year of 68. Jesus met several times with his disciples during the 40 days after his resurrection to instruct them on how to carry out his teachings. On the 40th day, he took them to the Mount of Olives, where they watched as he ascended to heaven. Ascension Day marks the end of the Easter season and occurs 10 days before Pentecost, which ushers in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it exciting to see how God performed all of these things from the very beginning of the foundation of when he breathed this place into existence, and as he created everything, and it went awry because of the sin and because of the devil. But no matter what happened then, to see the process through the timeline of all of these decades and centuries, to begin to see how everything was just being fulfilled, and to where we're at this time and season, and that we've got the best of it all with the Holy Spirit. Because we recognize and realize that Jesus could not be everywhere at the same time. He was flesh. But what do we have with the Holy Spirit? He's everywhere. Everywhere at the same time. Church services calling down. Bring in the Holy Spirit. Be with us, God. Be here in your presence. Well, how does God get there in his presence? The Holy Spirit. He dispatches the Holy Spirit to go to the churches, to go to organizations, to go to where people are crying out for him and crying out for more of him, the Holy Spirit. But we're going to get there next week, maybe. That's the Pentecost Sunday. So we find in the definition of ascension, or to ascend, Ascension Day, is a move upward. Remember the George Jefferson show? The Jeffersons? Oh, well, we're moving on up to the east side. Woo! Well, he moved up. Jesus moved up. He moved upward. Now, from scriptures and different King James, New American Standard, you will find this word as talked about as received up, ascension, taken up, returned. Something like that. But it's all the same. He ascended back to heaven. Here we are at the finality of Jesus' ministry upon this earth. His ascension to heaven is at hand. It's been 40 days since his resurrection from the tomb. He was placed after the crucifixion. If we were to look at the bigger picture here, it would be that his ascending to heaven was for the benefit of his followers. His ascending to heaven was for the benefit of you today, if you're his follower. Amen? With this taking place, they could no longer experience his physical presence nor expect it. They would need to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. It is through the Holy Spirit that Jesus' work continues to this day, right? Hallelujah. So let's kind of look quickly at some things. In Luke 24:50, it's marked out as the ascension. It says here, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them, and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. They were told to go back and to wait for that of the Holy Spirit. Don't go out and start anything until you get the Holy Spirit, because you're going to need the Holy Spirit. Well, why is that? Because the Spirit will lead us into all truth. He will tell us and give us things to say when we need to say it. He will lead us and guide us. Don't go and do the Great Commission until the Holy Spirit comes. Well, at least they listened to him, huh? Because they went back and they waited. But while they were in the temple, they were continually in what? Praising and blessing God. It's almost kind of reminding me, maybe quickly, about when we pray and we're waiting for an answer of God to come. How many do you go and you praise and worship God in between the time of the prayer to the time of the answer? Or do we pray and bemoan and bemoan and bemoan and bemoan? When, how, where are you at, God? No, it needs to get to that point to where you pray it, He shares something with you in the Spirit, hallelujah, and now I'm just going to wait, and I'm going to believe, and I'm going to trust, but while I'm doing that, I'm going to praise you, God. I'm going to glorify you. I'm going to worship you, Lord. I'm going to bless you, hallelujah. If we can get our Christian walk into that level of our maturity, just think how good it'll be. Because the more you think on the negativity, the more that you dwell on the prayer that I prayed that's not been answered yet, it kind of takes your mind off of really doing what you should do anyway, because God created us to worship Him. Amen. He wants to be worshipped. He wants to be the focus of our attention. Almost like the focus of attention of a family member, grandkids. Something that really is exciting to you, that gains your attention. You fixate on it no matter what. You're always giving it your undivided attention here on this earth. That's what God is wanting from you day in and day out, is your undivided attention to Him, even in the midst of your trials. Because you're going to have trials. You're going to have pain. You're going to have hurt. It's just bound to happen if you're on this side of heaven. Mark 16:19. Mark chapter 16, verse 19. Let's start there. Not a lot. These are like at the very snippet at the end of these gospels, but it's the power of it. You know, the four or five verses that he's left with the disciples. This is where it really begins to power up. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up to heaven and sat down where? The right hand of God. We realize, and if you understand, that the right hand of anybody that has authority, if you're sitting at the right hand of a king, that was like that person had like the next power level. that was the next closest seat to the power of that center seat. The power was at the right. He was received up. He sat down at the right hand of God. Now this is saying they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. But before they went out, they had to wait for the Holy Spirit. This is just telling us that, well, gee, when he ascended, where did he go? What's he doing? You know, is he mowing the grass? You know, is he washing the windows in heaven? No, he's seated at the right hand of God, being our advocate, interceding, doing these things for us as we pray. And then one other area, Acts 1, just first book, chapter, I should say, first chapter of Acts. Acts 1, they assembled together, because the Holy Spirit is promised. So I'm going to start here in Acts 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart. Now, who was with them at that time? Jesus. Not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, they had come together. They asked him, saying, "Well, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Verse 7, he says this, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority." Stop trying to figure it out. Stop running to and fro trying to figure out the trueness of the end times. It's going to be an end time. When the end time comes, it's going to be ended. Then you'll know. "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons." If Jesus is sharing that with his disciples, I'm cautiously to say this, but why are there so many books written out there about the end times? A lot of money made writing books and buying books on trying to show us the season of the end times. Are we in the end times? How close are we to the end times? Are the end times now or there? I could quickly tell you this, that even back then when he was ascended, they were already looking for him to come back the next hour, the next day. They assumed he was coming back pretty quick. And had they sat on their duffs, looking up, waiting, saying, "Well, he's ascended, he said he'll be back, I ain't going to do nothing until he comes back," they missed the point of go out and share the word. Go out and share this good news. Spread the gospel. Amen. Once you get the Holy Spirit, then go. But now you've got it, go. I think we get ourselves so wrapped up into the unknown. It's interesting to know the unknown. Well, why do you think they call it the unknown? Because it's unknown. But we can make a lot of money writing books about the unknown that we don't really know about, that people will buy. And after they're done reading it, they really won't have a clue exactly what they've just figured out anyway. It'll be another hypothesis or something like that. Another thought of a man, yeah, granted, looking at the Old Testament, reading Daniel, reading all this, putting Revelation together. Oh yeah, all these things are happening. This is lining up, you know. It's like when this one time we had a visitor, and this person asked, "What do you know what's coming up?" And at that time, it was like Easter was like a week away. I said, Easter. Something to do with some kind of moon stuff or something like that, like in September. It's like this guy's already looking at September for the signs in the heavens. And if they're there, they will be there, and that's so be it, and be ready for it. But, you know, if we just go around doing what the Lord has asked us to do, don't bother yourself with the end times. Be found faithful with sharing the good news. Be showing love. Be the light. Do what he's asked you to do. I've never seen anything in his word that says, "Now when I go, I want you to begin to plan out and figure and put all of these formulas together, and you try to figure out when I'm coming back, and we'll see if you're right." He didn't say any of that. But he's telling them there in the upper room, he says that it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons. He gave us examples in his word of when the time is getting close, but you know, we can look through society for the last several hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, and we could say, "Man, this is terrible." We look at it today and say, "It's got to be coming closer." Well, I will grant you that. And about the only thing I've got to say to people that are saying the ends of the times, I'll say, "Well, you know what? We're closer today to the end of the time than we were yesterday." And that's my theology. There you go. But if I want to run around and try to look at the stars and the moons and all this that's in there, and it's there for a purpose and a reason, but I don't know why. It's good to research those out, but to get so bent on it and so driven by it that you miss the crux of what he really wants you to do is to go out and love. He's wanting you to go out and share the word of God. He's wanting you to go out and be the light in a darkened place. We've had so many different types of organizations and groups, as organizations, but clans of groups out there that have told that the end time is coming this particular date and time. Sell all your stuff and let's go sit in the desert. It's this time, go do this and get rid of that and we'll do this. And many people are brainwashed by that and they do all that and they go out there and they sit and guess what? They're still here today unless they committed suicide because they thought they can't go on living anymore. because they got rid of houses, retirement plans, everything, because this leader that I'm following, which is mere man, has said that this is what I see in the Spirit. Come, let's go to the desert in this high mountain and sit and wait for that star to come. Foolishness. Foolishness. Jesus said, you will not know the hour nor the time nor the season. Don't worry about it. But if you're a child of mine, it's all going to be good. Hallelujah. We got the church more upset and trying to figure out the end of the time than the world that's lost that's really going to suffer when the end of the time comes. They ought to be the ones out there worried about it, but they're just going along life happy. You know, hey, life's good. We got churches and people and all in our churches and good churches that are just like, oh, you know, my goodness. But you shall receive what? On verse 8, Acts 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. And it goes on to say wherever and ever and ever. And then it goes to the point of saying to the end of the earth. That pretty well covers up. To Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Just go and share this. So his final conversations to the disciples is that. The ascension marked the beginning of Christ's intercession for us, his followers. This being accomplished with Jesus seated at the right hand of God. Here he is making continual intercession for all believers. Do you believe that? I hope so. It says so. 8. Romans 8. Romans 8, 31. Talks about God's everlasting love. Romans 8, 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? As you go through life this week, when things come against you, you need to remember, if God is for us, what situation can be against me? It might come against me, but it ain't going to hold me. It might be there that I've got to conquer, that I've got to go through, that I've got to climb over, that I've got to bust through, whatever the case is, but I'm going to go through that. It ain't going to be on my own power, because it says that God is for Tim, because I'm a child of God. I'm in his kingdom. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm of a different kingdom. But if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also making intercession for us. Making intercession for us. It's great when somebody intercedes for you. Pretty well tells you somebody has come in and taken your place. Or they're there to help encourage you, to take over for you, to carry the next load up, whatever the case. Hey, intercede to help one another. He's there to help us. Amen. He is now making intercession. He's bringing requests to God the Father for us. Could you imagine that? Jesus, on your behalf. Thank you, Lord. Bringing before God the Father my petitions. Wouldn't want anybody else to do it for me, would you? Christ is our advocate before God. 1 John 2:1. We visited 1 John a little bit the last couple of weeks back, talking about some things, the testing and all that, and knowing a Christian and who you are and things of that nature. But 1 John, real quick, 1 John 2:1. It just basically says, but... I say, oh, there I go again. I was about ready to read the wrong scripture. 1 John throws me off a lot. I don't know why. I'm glad I reread it before I started reading it, because I'm like, man, dang, what is this? Okay. 1 John 2:1. 2:1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, anybody in here a sinner? Been a sinner? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. It talks about the propitiation for our sins, and it's not ours only, but he's there for us. He's the advocate. He's there to share, to be a... First, let me look here real... The advocate is there to plead the case of the sinner. We speak, and you hear that at times even today in our society, of the advocates. And we've got a lot of people out there now fulfilling that role. Any of you in the court systems and the things in the counties and the legal areas and, you know, organizations, there's advocates out there. And there's people out there to help sometimes those that maybe don't have the means to understand something or to fulfill the fullness of something. They'll say, well, maybe you're too young. We'll assign an advocate to you to where they will help you and speak through you, for you, and work with you and bring that to that next person up. An advocate. That's what Jesus is for us. Because of where Jesus is today, Christians can enjoy peace, hope, and security. Because Jesus is our advocate with our Heavenly Father. It's almost like, could you imagine back in the days when you were a kid and you had maybe, you know, maybe an older brother or a sibling that was quite a few years older than you and you messed up or something like that, and maybe that sibling, you would have had to have a really good relationship with your siblings, I guess. To where that one would say, I'll go talk to Dad for you. You know, usually the ones that would be on mine probably would go, I'll go talk to Dad about that and tell him all how bad you are. Well, with Jesus, it ain't like that, you know. He's going to go and he's going to be my advocate. He's going to make that petition to God the Father. That's why it's so important to stay close to Christ. He's there for you. He's there for us. God determined that the presence of Jesus would be replaced by the presence of the Holy Spirit. The disciples must wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit through whom the work of Jesus would continue. The Holy Spirit can be present everywhere at the same time, where I'd already talked about, where Jesus could only be present where he was in the human form at that time. The ascension taking place, it set into motion the coming of the Holy Spirit along with the gifts for the believers. Wow. See how important Ascension Day is? What was accomplished by that? Why Jesus said, I must go so that he can come? Jesus could lead you into truth. Jesus could share the truth with you and give you the words and the things to say. But he was limited to the bodily form, to where he could only be. The only ones that benefited from Jesus were those that were what? In his presence at the time. Those that were healed by what? His touch. So we now, with that of the Holy Spirit, we've got the greatest of it all. John 14:15. We're just about ready to wrap up here. John 14:15-18 says this, If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. As long as we're here, as long as we're going through these things, he's here forever with us. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Go out there and talk to the world about a Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does for you. Do they receive that information from you willingly and without laughing at you sometimes? Generally not, because they can't receive that. Because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. He dwells with you and will be with you and in you. Isn't that great to know that where you go today, the Holy Spirit is in you and will be with you? Hallelujah. No matter what the situation is that you're going through or what you've got to look at taking care of this coming week, the Holy Spirit is in you and with you. Let's see, how far down we want to go here? To 18. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Okay, we've already read through that. Didn't I just read that? Okay. But it's so good to read it again. You might want to refer back to that a few times. The Spirit of Truth, amen, with you and will be in you. And then verse 18, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. If I look at 25, John 25, stay in 14, I apologize. John 14, let's jump to verse 25. John 14, verse 25 and 26. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, with whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. A great teacher. You can't get a better teacher than what? The Holy Spirit. Read God's Word. Saturate in it. Meditate on it. Ask him some things about, Lord, what is this in this Word that is pertaining to me? What in this Word is going to help me? What in this Word do I need to really understand, and how do I put it to practice in my life? And it's so great to know that all of these scriptures and things in here, they can be worked in every one of your lives here today. You can be in every different situation. You can be at every different level of things with God. But if you're sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you really, truly ask God to give you some focus, give you some direction, how am I to do this? What can I do? Where should I go? Listen to the Holy Spirit's leading and guidance. It's what I've talked about in those times of, what am I to do, Lord, to help? If I'm to help in this area of healing my body, what is it? I've had other things go on, and it's kind of crazy. You just kind of meditate. And it's like kind of like with TJ. You start taking things, and before you know it, you're thinking, you just start adding on, piling on more stuff, thinking like, hey, that ought to help. When all of a sudden it ain't helping because it ain't getting better. So then all of a sudden you take a step back and you begin to go, okay, Lord, I'm doing this, I'm reading that, I'm trying that, blah, blah, blah. But it's not working. What is it, Lord? What do I need to do? And if it's restructuring the medication, that's good. I'm not saying that's unfaithful or not. You don't have faith to use medicine. I've used medicine and things like that. But sometimes you have to get back and get to the point of saying, but God, what is it next? What is it now? How can I help? What am I to do myself to help you? And you don't need my help, but I believe God wants us to do those things sometimes for ourselves. And he leads you and guides you with that knowledge. It's just crazy. It's fun. It really is fun once you get into that understanding with God, where you've tried man's ways, you've tried your ways, you've thought this, you've gone on the web, you've put searches out there, whatever. And then it gets to like, okay, I've tried this, I've tried that. And then you just get a quiet time and you just kind of meditate and you say, okay, God, I've done this and this happened. And I didn't want that outcome, but this and that, what do I do? Have you guys had the same thing when you've went before him and just allowed the Holy Spirit to just begin to speak into your spirit? And all of a sudden, it's just like, boom, wow, okay, I'll try that. And within days, things change. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Now, back in those days, I'm sure Jesus was talking to the disciples and he was telling them and they were listening and it's like, how am I going to remember this? Today in our times, I believe it's as you read the scriptures and his word and it gets into you. There's times that I am not good at being able to memorize a lot of things to be able to remember it in format and exact like some people can just reel it off. But it's times that you get into a conversation with somebody and you're going, oh boy, where is this going? Oh boy, how am I going to, what can I share? I know it's there. And then all of a sudden, I have found in just my conversations of talking things about God's Word that you're going through the Scriptures. Somehow they just start coming right out. I'm not saying in such and such a book and such and such a verse, such and such a, you know, whatever. But you don't have to tell them that. You don't have to say that because they don't know the Bible any more than you do, possibly. You know, it's like, well, what are you talking about, verses and numbers? But you can tell, and I can tell them and say, but the Word of God says this, or in my life, this began to happen, and this was sharing, and this, and pretty soon you just begin to, and I have caught myself after you get a little ways into it that you're going, wow, where did all that stuff come from? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us begins to bring those things out of our heart, out of our minds, from the things that we have read. You got to believe this, guys. Don't beat yourself up when you read His Word and you go, well, that was a waste of time because I can't remember what I just read. That's the enemy, I think, telling a lot of us, like, because then the next thing you say is, well, why read it at all anymore anyway? Because I'm not gaining anything from it. I can't retain what I think I need to retain. And the enemy, the devil, is saying, yeah, that's right. Why read it if you can't quote it like so-and-so that does it so eloquently? Yeah, I'll just put my Bible down and forget it. The enemy has won. But if you can sit there and say, Lord, I'm just going to read this and just become rhema, become logos, whatever it is into me at that time, and I just trust you to return it back to me when I need it. And He will do that. Do you believe that? Amen. I hope you do, because He will. I don't think I'm any more peculiar than you guys. Because we all are a peculiar people. And don't compare. You just do what God has asked and you just be obedient to God in your own walk and in your own verbiage of the Bible and all. Read it. Meditate. Pray. Be with Him. But don't make it into a regiment to where you have to do all these things, because then it gets to be you have to do something. And generally in our times, when you tell man to do something, that's when we kind of don't want to do it. I find that I'm pretty human. I really show a lot of human side at times. Quickly in chapter 16, I think that's where we need to go. 16, 5 to 15, it says this, but now I go away to Him who sent me. John 16, verse 5. And none of you ask me where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your what? Advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. Thank you, Jesus, for sending the Holy Spirit. And when He has come to you, He will what? Convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me. It's okay when you're out there trying to share the Word of God with people and they don't believe it. Even then they weren't believing Him. And it's not for you to deal with it. You just share it and you just stand firm and strong in your faith. Amen? Well, I stopped when I should have kept going. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father. Because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is to be judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. All the things that are the Father are mine. This is Jesus speaking, and He just said up there, He hears, will speak, and He will tell you things to come, and He will glorify, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Jesus is saying all the things that God has are mine, and the Holy Spirit's going to take those and do them to what? Probably pass them off to you. Therefore I said that He will take of mine and declare it to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh. As I wrap up, and we won't get there, I can give you the verses here, but some additional things that were accomplished on the day of ascension. Jesus told his disciples that he would go and prepare a place for them. Ascending into heaven, he's gone to prepare that place. John 14, 1-3. And then one other time, he had to ascend, so one day he will return. You got to go if you're going to come back. Amen? Amen? Acts 1, 9-11. So for you to come back next week, you got to go. Leave here today, but come back. Amen? And bring somebody with you. Bring a family member. Bring a friend. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. So today, as we look towards Thursday, Ascension Day, I hope that when Thursday comes, praise you. Lord, bring it back to our recollection of what was shared on Sunday. Don't get caught up in the fast world of things happening and let Thursday pass by. Try to take Thursday at least a little quick and say, thank you, Lord, as you've ascended into heaven. You know, is this just like a time frame of where you went 40 days after resurrection. Thank you, Lord.